The shiur for this evening really is supposed to be, the topic should be a little bit better. I thought of this better topic. Rather, the inyan of shofar, where halacha and hashkafa synthesize, it should be shofar so good. Hey, rabbi joke. Who did that last time? What I really want to discuss is to try to combine halacha with hashkafa. As I told you, this is a shiur based on two shiurim that I heard from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, whose yurtzeit is less than a month away. And so Rav Aaron, the first shiur I ever heard was a tape. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It was a tape recording that his yeshiva's Brisk in Chicago, had sent around to everybody. And my father, I remember, from what I remember, I was probably 8, 9 years old, and I was very similar to you guys when you were in Shana Aleph. And so I don't know why, but I put it in what was called a tape recorder, and I listened to it. I remember listening to it. He had a very distinct voice, and I won't give you that voice because, you know, it might sound like somebody else. And I remember hearing it, and I actually remember it from then, and then I listened to it again because I had listened to a shiur that he gave, which was very similar. What I wanted to discuss this evening is, of course, a very important, like the most important thing, right? We know that the mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah is shofar. So we have to understand what does that mean and what should we be thinking during shofar blowing. I find it to be, as somebody who previously was a professional shofar blower in my previous life, so always found it very, very difficult. Baruch Hashem, now that I don't have to blow shofar and I could concentrate on the shofar blowing, so even more so, you know, you're thinking to yourself, what should I be feeling now? It reminds myself of what I call the wailing wall experience. When people go to the Kotel, so especially those that are not so affiliated, they know there's something going on there, right? There's something special there, but they don't really know what should I be feeling. And us, people who are from, so maybe sometimes feel that way as well. Like, I know there's something special, but what should I feel here? What should I be doing? So if we don't understand what we should be feeling on Rosh Hashanah during shofar blowing, wow, it's yisoda yisodos. So if I could help you with that a little bit, that would be wonderful. And hopefully I'll be able to help myself as well. So, says the Rambam in source number 1 in Hilchos Shofar, which is really Hilchos Shofar Sukkah Elulot, if you can ever find it. Mitzvos Asim Minat Shel Tolu Shmoa Trua HaShofar. I'm not going to discuss the most famous discussion about this. Is the mitzvah Shmia, right? Because it says L'Shmoa Kol Shofar, and not to actually blow the shofar. Or there are those who are Mechadish, and it's Shemea Ka'onetz, as if I'm actually, like I'm blowing the shofar itself. That's really the mitzvah. And therefore, if you are a shofar blower, maybe it's better that you do blow it, but it's the Rav Majesh Melch, all that Torah, so that's not for the discussion. Because, of course, the Pasuk says, Yom Trua Yelachem. The shofar shetokim bo ben Rosh Hashanah ben bayovel who karen hakvasim hakafuf. This is the most important line, right? What should a shofar look like? So there are many different types of animals that can be used for shofar, but the key word here, if you want, you could have the sheets for the rest of your life. You can underline this word is the word kafuf. What does kafuf mean? Bent. The shofar has a din that it can't be straight, it has to be bent. Now, anybody who's ever gone to the shofar factory, anybody's ever seen this before? So this is actually something that sometimes they'll actually mold. Not all of them are as bent as they should be, how they're bent. So sometimes they actually help the bending process. It is a din in shofar. I've actually seen shofars that are not kosher, la halacha, they're not bent. They're Yeah, it's like a comb, but it's not as bent as it should be. I don't think there's going to be a din. I don't think there's a din. It has to be so kafuf. I'm sure you've seen the Sephardi shofars, right? That are mamish, kafuf, mamish. But there is a din of kafuf. And we'll see, not only that, but there's also halacha that we generally try our best, depends what type of shofar blow you are, if you can do this, to blow out of the right side of your mouth. So we have to see why that is. These are halachas. These aren't hashkafas yet. These are halachas. The Rambam quotes this halacha. We know that there are different types of shofar that are, we of course generally use the ram horn, of course, to remember what happened on that day, which was of course what? What happened on Rosh Hashanah? Kevin Yitzchak, right? So Alpha B Shalom, the Farish Batora, Trua, Bashofar, Rosh Hashanah, Harehu, Omer, Bayova. But says the Ravid in the same source, Asagos Ravid, Chain Hashofar, Pesum Chutz Miyakarin, because Omer Avram, Hefriz Al Midosov, Elab Mitzos Kofim, Vim Toke, Bishol Yael Yatza. So he questions whether or not what happens if not everybody has can get right. We're very lucky today. We have things called FedEx and we have shipments and we have everything, and you can get anything you ever want, no matter where it's from. You can always get it shipped to you, right? But in those days, they didn't have that. They didn't have rams running around in certain countries. What if you only have other types of animals that are kosher animals, right? But they don't have those type of... So he says that could be that it would be kosher, be the Eved, it would be the mutter. In fact, the halacha tells us that in source number 2, in the Shulchan Aruch, Simatov Kuv Pei Vav, Shel v'shel Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvaso v'shel Ayah, the Kofof. Two halachas. There should be a ram's horn and there should be kofof. They should be... Ubedi'abed kol shavish kasherim. Bein pshutim, bein kufim, u'mitzvah, right? We can't use from a non-kosher animal, right? There's no such thing as a pig's horn. Unicorn, you couldn't use it. You couldn't use a non-kosher animal. But you could use any other animal but a ram that's kosher, and it doesn't necessarily have to be kofof. That's what he holds a lot. But, yeah, why? You remember? Right, very good. You can't use a cow either. Ready? V'shel parah, pasal. But for a parah, it's pasal. Right? Right, because it's giving the wrong remembrance to the Rabbanu Shalom. V'chein shofar, right, that's from behemoth tamei, as I said, is pasal. So here he actually uses the shita of the Raivid. Here's the shita of the Raivid that he takes and uses and says, no, we're not as machmir, but we see there's a din of kofof. A shofar should be kofof, it should be. The question is, why does it have to be shofar? So the first thing that I wanted to bring out is why it has to be kofof. So the Magen Avraham comments and says, "Lezecher kedus yisok." That's why it has to be an ayil. And why does it be kofof? Shekofu libam lamakom. That we ourselves should be bent, our heart should be bent to the Ribbono Shelam. It's actually like man, right? Sometimes we have this idea, like we know when we have this chus of bringing korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash, so ki'ilu, the korban was us, right? So the shofar blowing in some way represents us. We'll see. We'll understand what that means. Why does it represent who we are and what we are? The kolos of the shofar, and therefore we should be kofof. We should be embarrassed in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah. The Malachim Malachim is standing in front of us, so we're kofof. And there's actually a din that there are those that are actually kofof all of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Kofof means they're bent over, right? When somebody's talking to you of great stature, so you know you're not supposed to be haughty and walking around. This is a
hard. And Gary Frommann says
yeah.
It says to like talk to someone with their head bent down.
Right.
And also it says there's a Kabbalistic concept that when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei as well, you're supposed to be looking
correct,
down.
Correct. It says, and that's why it says la halacha, a shul should have windows. So why should shul have windows? If the halacha, a shul should have windows. Why should it have windows if we say you're not supposed to look up during davening? Because sometimes you need inspiration. So it says, then you're allowed to look up for a moment, brief moment. You look up to Shemaim, you look at Hashem's creation, and it gives you.
Is there an issue when they have pictures of like Gadolim in shul?
Yes. This is an issue that might be a shul that you might daven in. This is an issue that those that have with Chabad shuls, where there's a picture of the Rebbe all the way in the front of the shul. I'm not aware. Hertzlish, yeah. I'm not aware if that's true, but there could be a question of whether you're not. You should. Certainly, when you're davening to Mizrach, that's very inappropriate. No, so that's what I just said. No, so that's. So some people say it's a problem. I don't know if it's a legit problem. Obviously, hopefully, people realize that they're not davening to use it again as inspiration. We hope not. That's another question in halacha as well about going to Kvarim, who you're davening to. But you're correct. The Magen Avraham brings out, I think, a very, very important point here. And that's the point that the din of kofof, the din of being bent, is the way we should be acting coming into Rosh Hashanah. You will hear in this year, a lot of times, I'll be throwing out to you what I call my pet peeves. So this is one of my pet peeves. My pet peeves is how people generally act in a shul. In general, they're not kofof, they're not bent, they don't feel anything special about the place that they're in. The first limud we had here in the Beis Medrash was about kavod of Beis Medrash. A lot of people come into the Beis Medrash, right? Pet peeve number one, and they chew gum, right? They're chewing gum during mamish, during davening itself. Ain't you know? There isn't more of a chutzpah to me than that. That's the opposite of kofof, right? Of saying I could chew gum in front of you. I don't care. During davening, meaning they're saying Shemoneh Esrei. Come on, right? My other pet peeve, but I could be wrong about this, but I admit myself that I could be wrong, so I guess it's not a pet peeve. I have an issue with the non-dehydrated people drinking during davening all the time, right? I don't understand it.
I think it is.
So this is like a famous, my son jokes about this. Yaakov's bar mitzvah is coming up very shortly. So he says that all the bar mitzvah boys in America, they all have the, you know, it's like a lahavdil, but it's like a boxing match, right? After usually a laleinu, lases lanu, great job, great job. You know, he's oh, yeah, okay, come on, I mean, you could do it. Next Aliyah, come on, man, come on, man. You know, and they give him all the water. So I don't, does he really need the water? I don't know. Does he really need water? The halacha says, of course, if his throat is bothering him, so he's allowed to drink a little bit. But I don't know. I've seen the base manager all the time. Guys are drinking. They have these huge things of water. They're drinking during Shemoneh Esrei. They drink. Again, if you're dehydrated or you have a throat problem. Right? Clapping, you know. That's, I don't know. So that's yisod number one. The yisod is a very important yisod, and we see this, in, again, halacha and hashkafa, where they combine, is that we have a halacha that the shofar, why is supposed to, remember, we're supposed to look at the shofar and go, oh, you know what, let's not be so haughty when we daven. We should recognize who we are. There are some people who actually have this leminhag, right? They don't want to sit in a certain place. I remember growing up, so my father's minhag always was, even though, if I'm not mistaken, the rule where we used to daven the Yom Kippur Windmere was this, the basis of your seat, how far up you were able to get was, I think, based on the years that you daven in the shul. So Baruch Hashem, my parents had lived there for many, many years. So we could have sat all the way up in front. My father insisted that we were the last row in the shul, which usually led to always having interesting people sitting next to you. Because the only people who got the last rows of the shul was people who were, right, who just came three times a year, in some cases two times a year. So those people always were sitting in the back with us. There was always this family, it said the O'Connors. O'Connors. We thought they weren't Jewish, but it turned out that the shul did like a tova for this one family who didn't have any money, so they never knew. They said, just anybody that comes to shul, so let them sit because they shouldn't feel like they're not comfortable. So we always had all in the back of my father's head. It's Rosh Hashanah. So you shouldn't feel that you're so comfortable in the shul. Again, assuming there's not talking and stuff like that. But you should sit in the back, say the Rabbanu Shalom, hey, kafuf. I don't, this is a, the, so that's the idea behind, the first idea we saw behind shofars, the idea of kafuf. Supposed to be like us, bent in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. Yeah.
We're talking about people who daven very, very loudly.
What do I think? I think it's from a first halacha. Somebody who is mafriya, somebody who interrupts, who bothers other people's tefillah, whether that's through actual talking, davening loudly, clapping, dancing, or anything that's not a normal part of tefillah where you shouldn't be doing that, that's clearly also. Clearly also. I think that if that's the minhag of the shul, if everybody davens loudly, if you go to bells, for example, if you've ever been bells on a real Shabbos, the reason why they have to stop the thing is that because that's the derech tefillah, is screaming out, that's how everybody does it. So that would be mutter. But if it's a normal if it's a shul, I think Jake told me, I think it was Rav Jake's story, where he told a story about somebody who came as a guest for Shabbos, not in some community, and he said to him, listen, I know I'm a scholar in residence in your community, just one thing you should know, I got a big problem during davening, I scream out. The rabbi said, listen, I'm the rabbi of the shul, I'm telling you right now, there's no screaming allowed during davening. Okay? It's a normal shul, you don't scream during davening. So the guy's trying, finally, you know, he davens once, feeling he can control himself. Finally he gets to shachar, he can't control himself anymore. And he screams, and he comes up to the rabbi, and says, rabbi, I'm so sorry, please, mechin mechin. He goes, I don't care, it doesn't bother me at all. He goes, what do you mean, you told me, you know, because I mind somebody who comes and tells me he's going to scream, because unscheduled screaming, that's fine. That means you have real kavanah of tefillah. So there are sometimes people can't control themselves. And I appreciate that. There are sometimes they're just so into tefillah, Baruch Hashem. That's what they do, right? But other than that, if it's mafriya people, if it's bothering people, so that's clear it's awesome. I remember having...
No, people can't tell you it's bothering. Like, I'm not going to be no mashu when I'm sorry. I'm like, sir, do you mind keeping it down? Like, that's not going to happen, realistically.
Right, but you realistic, as a normal breathing individual, you should know that if you're diving very loudly, then you should recognize that it must be bothering other people.
There's some people also who daven like louder than the whispering, a little bit softer than the conversation. It's just the most annoying sound.
Mm-hmm.
This is the forum.
Okay. So the Birkei Yosef here in source number 4, the Birkei Yosef quotes the Chida here quotes the following: Mitzvas b'shel ayil is what b'makom she kablu aleihem horaat haRambam. Those that follow the Rambam, which we saw the Shulchan Aruch didn't, im ein lehem shofar shel keves kafuf ein lehem levarach b'shar shofros. You hear that for it? According to the Rambam, the halacha would be so strict that if in the shul I could not find a ram sarna, and this is actually pretty popular because the Sephardic shofar is not a ram. It's an ibex. An ibex is not a ram. That huge one? What?
The twirly one or the long pot?
Down in the southern
no, the twirly one's not from
it.
A what?
A kudu.
Yeah, K-U-D-U.
Exactly, I know. Duh. And what country does that come from?
Australia.
Africa.
Africa's not a country. It's like Sahara, but like near it.
So that's not, you agree with me though, it's not from Iran.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, according to that, this is so interesting, because Dafka, the people who follow the Rambam, which are the Svardim, do not blow shofars of a ram. Okay? So according to this is just logic. The Birkei Yosef is just quoting logic. If it's not chafuf, okay, and it's not, you can't make a bracha if you follow the shita of the Rambam. We don't follow the shita. So I don't have an answer for you why the Sfarim do what they do. They make a bracha on it. They don't follow the shita of the Rambam, I guess, but generally they do a lot. So I'm sure there's a good answer. I just don't know. What? I'm talking about in America, in Israel. There's a ram. They decide that they use these beautiful shofars. But okay.
What about a kazoo?
That would be awesome. So he writes, Mikol makom, midei safek lo nafek kevan deshar aposkim pshita lem levarech. He says, listen, the truth is everybody says you should make a bracha. Eino b'chal kabatom smoch haramam. We are not so mech to hold like the Rambam. So Sfari posek paskening, the Birkei Yosef, he says, we don't hold paskening like this. Okay. But based on the Rambam, you wouldn't make a bracha. We're somech on the halacha that this isn't so. So that's Yisod number one. Yisod number one, again, is a Rambam against a Ravid. You're not Yotze unless it's kafuf. Unless it's from a ram, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. We saw in the Ravid, you're Yotze. We didn't see this, but the Magen Mishnah also says this, that kafuf is ma'akiv midi evad, but not, it is, is ma'akiv midi evad, I'm sorry, like the Rambam. The Yisod is that what? Is that it's like us. And what we'll see, what I want to bring out, is the Yisod of this whole section so far, is that shofar blowing is the Yisod in Tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rav, is going to bring this out as well. That the Yisod is a kiyum in Tefillah itself. In fact, shofar blowing is ma'akev. The real, real quote-unquote shofar blowing is not the first shofar blowing that we do, right? Everybody should know that.
I know he said it, by the way. He said the existential
right.
Of the cosmos.
Right. Is when the shofar blowing of Shemona Esrei, of the Musaf of Shemona Esrei, and the way Nusach Svar do it in the Shemona Esrei itself, is the real shofar blowing. Right? We have Tkiyos Miyushav and Mu'umad. The first ones that we do, that everybody does, that we have the most kavana for, is quote unquote the fake shofar blowing. Right? You know, we did this because of the Romans and that. That's not the real shofar blowing. The real shofar blowing is in the tefillah itself. It's part and parcel of the tefillah. We'll see why, but that's an important yisod. Yisod number two, as I pointed out, is that it should be done on the right side. Zakta halacha, here in the Haggad, this is the Ramah here, in source number 5. This is Tavkuf Pehei. V'tov l'tzkeya b'tzad yamin. If you can, you should blow shofar on the right side of your mouth. Doesn't matter. I'm a lefty. The halacha is on the right side, so the question is why? So all the Mepharshim quotes. I think so. Are you? Are we? So, why is that? So says the Magen Avraham, but Sad Yamin, why? What's so important about the right side? Mishum Dechsiv, it says the Pasuk in Yiyob, what? Ve'asatan Omed Al Yimino. Yimino. The Satan, no. The Satan is over there on the right side, and therefore we want to blow away the Satan, so we do it from the right side.
Don't usually associate the left with Masik Rahman?
Yeah. Right is Midas Sadim. Or left is Midas Sadim. What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean?
Right is Dim, left is Rahman.
Right.
So wouldn't we make sure that it originates from Rahman? So, you know,
good. So we'll discuss. Because of Ashla, Shkei Nachan Apia Kabbalah. Kolokolovush, kosov below the satsnol, mevishesha tefilasim ayudei migina, below utter yesh l'tzkeya b'yamin. He says somebody who is a lefty like myself still blows out of yamin. Why? So the yisod. This is what Rav Aaron built out this yisod, and this is a very important yisod, and that's going to be a yisod of the following. A person would think, like you said, that you should blow out of the left side because midas harachamim, and we want rachamim. And other people think this is really what always have also, you know, the famous Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why don't you blow shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah? Right. What does that mean exactly?
It means the seven's like, actually, you're right. It really makes no sense.
It doesn't
make right. So said Rav Aaron, what do we think? Every year the Satan's stupid? Every year the Satan wakes up in the morning and he goes, I can't wait for... Wait a minute. I missed Rosh Hashanah again! Dog! Gosh, darn it! And he goes back to sleep and that's it and he's done and our Rosh Hashanah comes in and we get a great din. And then he wakes up a few days later and goes, wait a minute, it was Rosh Hashanah yesterday! Oh, gosh, darn it, I'll get it next year! He says, it can't be! That we don't believe in that. If what? Right, we tricked him, exactly, that's what it is. Yay, we tricked him again! Ha-ha, we do it every year, great. Yeah, Shkoyach, ha, Satan, you are an idiot. Come on. So if Aaron said, it's not to confuse this, quote-unquote, I'm only using it because I believe this is the term he used, the stupid Satan. Right? It's to counteract the Satan. Because we just learned in Eo that the Satan is omed on the right side. And we want to counteract it. We want to say, hey, I can't get rid of the Satan. I admit, there's no way I can get rid of the Satan. Because the Satan, we know, is what we call the Yetzirah. You cannot get rid of your Yetzirah. You can make it less. You can lessen it. Right? Maybe this is true, maybe this is not. I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But I'm told that when somebody has a disease, like an addiction, right? A guy's addicted to alcohol. He's what we call an alcoholic. So you don't go through all the steps of being an alcoholic and then they say you're shkoyach and they give you your pin and they say you're no longer an alcoholic. That's it, you're done.
What?
No, wait. Right? What do they say? Right? You've lessened your Baruch Hashem. You've done so many different things to get around it. But that Yetzirah is still there. The Yetzirah is still there. And that's the Yesod over here. We don't think for a moment that the Yetzirah, everybody's Satan is different. Right? It's not this general Satan, like, you know, we see in movies. This guy standing there, oh, I'm just waiting to do something. It's your own Satan. For each person, it's different. Right? We hopefully will start reviewing some of the areas that we can do better in during the year. And they're all different for us. Some people, it's, hey, I got to work on my anger. So there's a Satan that always gets you worked up. And he doesn't allow you to count to 10. And he doesn't... Then you flip. So says Rav Aaron, it's here to counteract that. Right? It's to take us out of what he calls the spiritual coma that we're in. We're in the spiritual coma. Why? Because we're happy with the way things are. And this happens every year. And I think this is such a yesod. Every year we go, here we are again. Here we are again. It's the same as last year. It's the same thing. So maybe the Shana Aleph guys will be a little bit different for them. Maybe really different for them. But it's the same, basically. What I mean is the same. It's the same. So it's the same for some people. Not you, of course, tzaddikim. But you go home from shul, and you have some family over, and the first thing that you ask is, what time did you get out today? Like, oh, we got out at 1. we got out at 12:30 with the speech. Hello, that's it. Checkmate, we're done. Or you sit down at the meal, and they said, who davened by you? Like, oh, you know, davened by us? Whatever. Right. No. Right. Whatever. He downed by you. Oh, he downed by you? Good luck with that. Guess who's downing by you next? I remember growing up as a kid, there was a term that was used. A certain person. Can't say it. It's just going to have to go on the internet. I hope you don't get so-and-so tomorrow. Hope you don't get him. If you get him, you're in trouble. Rosh Hashanah! But it's okay. We're complacent with who we are. And we scream out, and I believe we mean it, but it's to wake us up to get out of this coma. It's to say to the Satan, get away, stop it already, Satan. You Yetzihara, you make me feel so complacent and so happy. I'm not bad. I'm much better compared to other people, especially, excuse me for saying, especially Shana Beth. Because if you look at where you were a year ago, you say to yourself, holy cow, I am so much better than I was last year. It's like amazing. I'm a tzaddik. And that's, by the way, this is Yetzihara talking to you. It doesn't sound like the Yetzer. It sounds like a great Rav saying to you, "You're amazing. Look at you. You're great." What? Well, I'm sorry.
Doesn't allow one to be happy with how the year went.
I don't think that there's anybody who should be happy. This is exactly the so that Rav Aaron said. Anybody should be complacent with how Rosh Hashanah went. Why? Why?
Shields, what about everyone else? Isn't everyone else thirsty?
By the way, next time I prefer a drink over this. So, no, it's fine. I'm just saying in general. So, I think you're right. Nobody should come to Rosh Hashanah and say what? And say to myself, this year was a great year. Yes, you could say to yourself, I did great this compared to where I was last year. It's amazing. Right? So.
Really?
So.
Those have been sitting out for like 6 months.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think the Yesodos is that. You must come to Rosh Hashanah saying to yourself, how can I do better? I'm not happy with who I am. Even though I grew from, you know, first grade to 12th grade, I grew X, and in 1 year, I grew 900 times more than I ever grew. That's great. And you should pat yourself on the back, but you still got to do better than that.
Why are we even considering
Arda?
Like, why are we even considering
Arda?
What? Like, why should we not go in and say, oh, look at Hashem's study? Why are we going and saying, look how much rock, look what I do? I'll have a Shirley Temple.
Okay, that's true. That's true. But we have to come into it like the shofar. This counteracting of the sata, of this right side, and being able to say, the sata is on the right side. I want to counteract the sata. I want to counteract this Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah is going to always tell me, go back to sleep. And you guys, Doc, as we said before in Shana Bet, always have these problems. Because the Yetzirah says to you, you know what, last year you never went to Slichos at 12:30. I went to Slichos. Now you're going to ask me to get up at 7:45? Ah! I can come to 8 o'clock. Come on.
No, but that's not the issue. The issue no more is whether or not, you know, defeating Yetzirah. The issue now is what is the Yetzirah? I have this issue all the time. You know, you're in the middle of learning, and then you get this thought in your head, you know, I really need to learn more. I need to make a schedule to learn more. That's the Yetzirah there, but you think it's not. What is the Yetzirah?
Wait, what's motivating you to learn more?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but while you're learning, it's distracting you from learning. So really, it's the Yetzirah.
Okay.
I'm saying the Yetzer Tov is the one telling you to see, keep learning. The Yetzer is the one distracting you from learning by saying that you
what about learn. No, but the Yetzer Hara also is the one that says to you, you know what, Lee, you don't want to get burnt out. They've spoken to me about this. You can't learn too much. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I shouldn't learn anymore.
No, but the Yetzer is right at that stage. So I think that's the Yetzer Tov, because I know how much sleep I need. I need a certain sleep for me to get up for shopping.
I agree with you.
We asked him, what's his name, Devin Miller?
Yeah.
We asked him, we said, what's more important, if I go to Shear or if I go to Shoppers? He said Shoppers.
Right.
And then he said I should drink energy drinks after that. But anyways, he said, you know, they make Red Bulls now, I don't know, whatever. But anyways, this was a huge thing, because I used to sleep through Shoppers just so I could make it to Shear. And then Rapalpio asked him, and he said it's more important to go to Shoppers. So it's a thing, if you're going to stay up late, it's not the Yetzer Hara telling you you're going to get burned out, it's Yetzer Tov, so you can go to sleep and get up for Shoppers. So it becomes an issue. But
what about the longer I think you define it right
there? Leads you off of a balance.
It's not always that simple to define. The issue is no longer defeating the issue.
No. You make a very good point. It's a very, very good point. And that's part of our problem, is defining what is the right thing to do. Right. No.
It's very unclear to us.
Right.
We don't have any clarity.
Right. So sometimes the answer there is somewhat of an easy answer, Baruch Hashem. The 30-plus Rabbein that you have in Yeshiva Leva Torah, so you should befriend at least one of them. And you should say, okay, what is the way I should be doing? A lot of times, this idea of burnout is a very serious concept, right? It's also a serious concept in trying to maintain when you're going to, unfortunately, have to go back one day into the quote-unquote real world. You're going to go to college, you're not going to be able to maintain this type of schedule. And many people lose it there because they say all or nothing. I obviously have spoken to many guys in Europe who've gone Shana Bet and Shana Aleph, and they want to have a great Seder. And months after Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, they say, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, something called, you know, midterms came, or finals came, and that was it. That was it for everything. That was it for Shacharis, and forget about learning, that was a joke, right? In my yesteryear, when I was in YU in the beginning, so I used to have this very interesting chavrusa. I used to joke with him that any excuse he can find not to learn, he would do, right? So every other day would be alternate side parking, I got to go out, and I got to park my car. And then it was, you know, and every day there was, and they were all valid excuses, right? So on one hand, it's like, this: what, Hashem doesn't want me to get a ticket, so I should do this. And Hashem doesn't want me to have a headache and not go out and get a drink. And everything, whatever. Finally, Baruch Hashem, my Rebbe, Rav Golda, came up to me and said, okay, enough. You need a real chavrusa. Let's get somebody else.
The mustache?
Yes, that Rav Golda. So, so this is the concept is halach. If you want to look at it later, says also why the right is a mechama. It's called b'shova v'chatzros. It's a mechama. And the sentence shows a mechama. It's a mechama. We're fighting it. We're fighting a mechama. If you think that it's easy to be a firm person, it's not easy. It's not easy. We all have our own, right? The biggest tzaddik in the world, right? Ain't tzaddik ba'ir shal lo yechta. That didn't, he has his own battles. Baruch Hashem, his battles, if you would wish to have the same battles he had. But he has also his battles. So that's the Yisoda Yisodas here. And that's what we try to bring out here in the second section of why Dafka the right side. Again, there's a number of, you could look at this, of Gemaras that discuss this. The point that you made is a very good point about din, and dafka's on the din side and not on the other side itself. That's source number 8, the Gemara. The Gemara says, Moshe Shana v'shal Yom Kippurim is kof of mamish. That's the din. So the next side is the idea of the tefillah itself. And this idea is more of the ideas I told you about before, an idea developed more by Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. The idea that in itself, the tefillah itself is the yesod of is through shofar. The shofar is the silent tefillah. We can dive in from here to tomorrow. We don't know exactly what we want. So we have this shofar blown. What I want to discuss as quickly as we can, but is probably the most important part of the shiur, right? And that is why we blow tzkiah through a tzkiah. Rav Soloveitchik draws the idea, which I'll say first, is that the pasuk says, "Bechodesh Hashvi, Bechad Lachodesh Yelachem, Shabbaton Zichron Tzura Yelachem." Zichron, right? So, what does it mean? Says as Rashi, Zichron Psukei Zichron or Shofar. So you have to say all those things. So he says, "What does that have to do with each other?" So the Ramban comments, and the Ramban says, "I'll tell you what it has to do with each other. Shofar blowing without Musaf, without Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, is nothing." The idea is the Ramban says that the Zichronos, Malchus Shofros, Musaf, which of Rosh Hashanah, which is the most unique tefillah of the entire year, has to be done al yedei tekiyos. The whole tekiyos come through the shofar blowing. Says the Ramban in source number 12 that the tikkun, the tekiyos shofar, is via tefillah. Abal kol asmachin ledivrayim neforish amru. Hilchach, therefore, holchin lamakom shetokim bo, ve'ein holchim lamakom she mivarchim. Pshita, the Udiraisa Diraban, and the famous Gemara that discusses what do? You go to the place where they blow shofar, the place where they daven, but the yisod is yisod in tekiyah shofar. It should be pasha that you should go to the place that you're blowing shofar, because blowing shofar is the yisod ha yisod does. Why? Because Midoraisa says it could be the Ramban, that it's not Midoraisa maybe. So maybe it's not Midoraisa. Why? Because without tefillah, you don't have to fulfill your obligation. So what does that mean? It means that when it comes to show, hear what I'm saying, guys. Right? The Pasuk says, Zichron Teruah, that we have to blow shofar. How do we fulfill the Doraisa obligation of shofar? I'll ask you another question. Easier question, I hope. Probably won't be so easy, but let's try. How do we fulfill Zachar's Yom HaShabbos the Kosho on Friday night? How do we fulfill the obligation to remember Shabbos? We say Kiddush. What does that mean? Be better? Say better.
Can I just make a public service announcement?
Shh. So, what does that mean? How do we do it? How do we do it? Unwind, you said, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not the right obligation, is it? Oh, so we say that the best way to fulfill this obligation of Kiddush is via saying it with wine. We've taken a yesod that you could just say Zachar Shom Shabbos Kosher and be Yoytze Zayin, fine, no problem. And we said, no, you got to do better than that. And you know what you have to do? You have to mention it with wine. Says the Ramban, that's the same thing by shofar blow. You can be blow shofar like every hot dam, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and just blow shofar, and everybody says, yeah, great. No, but doing it in the musaf, that's even better. Why? It's tefillah. Chedush Eritva, source number 13, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. You want your tefillah to go up to the Rebbeinu? That's through the tekiyas. That's through the yesod of tekiyas. That's the idea. That's the idea. So, we now have to understand, now that we understand this yesod, that it has to be through tefillah, which is very beautiful and very nice. We have to understand what that has to do with the actual tekiyos that we have. Because we know it says zichron tura. It doesn't say zichron tekiya, zichron tura. So what does that mean? What is the tekiyos? And I think this is really an important yisod of understanding this, I think really will help you in tekiyah shofar. Source number 14 is the Ha'arei Kedem, attributed to Rav Soloveitchik, or Shorkin Sefer. Shirim, you heard from Sir of Salvation. Pasha to Das Rashi to Brichos Heim Midaraisa Rakish Heim Baim Litzarif Atkias Aba Brichos Aba Brachos Litzabim Makom She'ein Tkias Einon Elu Midarabana. The brachos that we're talking about are the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. They become the Araisa through the Tkias Shofar. Brachos below Tkias behind Agavna Pshita is only Midarabana. The Tkias Heim Midaraisa, even without the brachos, but through the musaf itself, become deraisa, as we said. It's barer, he says, the chol ikur shofar hu litzfila, that shofar is yadei tzfila. This yisod, again, was brought out by Rav Soloveitchik, that yisod is tzfila. So why then do we do this tkiya? Always has to be with tru. We know that we have the tkiya, the trua, the tkiya. Tkiya shram, trua, tkiya, tkiya shram. Right, that's just because we don't know what the tru is. Tru is either the shvarim or the shvarim tru, or just the tru. But it says a yom tru, a lol yom tkiya. So, the Nitziv says this in the last source, which is a yisod that I heard from Avaron Soloveitchik. This is the Nitziv. The joy that many of us might have on Rosh Hashanah, because Hashem gave us this day, has to be in a bit counteracted with this wake-up call of the Terua. We know that the Terua signifies what? Crying. Right? Yuvava, so crying. Two types of way of crying. Kids love when I do this in the house. Right? There's the Shvarim, there's the Terua way. Some people cry. Right? Which is the Shvarim. And some people just uncontrollably sob. Right? That's what the Terua is supposed to signify. It actually works. So, that's the idea. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to arouse our own self and not to be happy with the spiritual level that we're on. Yes, you should be sameach with what you've reached. You should be sameach v'chelko, that it's great. But that's a mental state you should be in, not a spiritual state, says Rav Aaron. Complacency is the source of all evil. We do not measure up to what Hashem wants of us. That's the yisod. And again, it's so difficult when you've jumped so far on the spiritual scale from what you were to what you are now, to then say, more? He wants more of me? Right? Let's say you take a story about a guy, a tzaddik gomer, right? Take a tzaddik gomer, mamish somebody, let's just say, right? And he decided that he's going to leave everything. He's a huge business person. And he's going to leave his entire life and dedicate it to Torah. He doesn't care anymore. Right? He made a lot of money. He says, no, forget it. I want to just sit and teach Torah to boys in, I don't know, let's say Levatar. That's what he decides to do with his life. He feels pretty spiritually good about himself. He feels good about himself. What do I need to do? What? Look what I did. Used to be that every month I didn't have to think about, can I do this? Can I do that this month? Do I have enough money for this? That? I never thought I didn't think about anything. Who cared? Hand over fist, this person was making money. Sales commissions, who cares? And now all of a sudden it's, ooh, I don't know, should we go out to dinner tonight? It's not so close to the end of the month. And then he comes to Rosh Hashanah, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, with all due respect, I'm going to come to the Davin and do everything, but what? Come on, between me and you, look what I did. I'm inspiring boys. It's great. No, you shouldn't be spiritually complacent. Yishkoyach, you reach this level, you got to do even more. You got to go to the Rosh Hashiva. I want to teach more Shurim. I'm not happy. Let's say this guy was the director of institutional advancement. I'm not happy being the director of institutional advancement only. I want to have more Shbarim boys. I want to figure out how we could do more. The tekiah is that calm and complacent sound that says, yeah, everything's going to be okay. You have Rosh Hashanah. You're here. That's great. That's the first step, is to be here. So, the Gemara says a nidah already. When a child's born, they say he should be a tzaddik. The tefillah is that he should be a tzaddik. But even when people call you a tzaddik, you should call yourself a rasha. So Rav Aaron asked, what? Netziv says, what kind of reaction is that? Everybody says, you're such a tzaddik, you're such a tzaddik. She says, nah, not tzaddik. How can you say that? So he quotes in the name of the Tanya. Rav Aaron's very unique. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik did this as well. They learned the Tanya, a heavy influence from Chabad. The Tanya in the Sefer Beinoni says, is this really true, the Gemara Nida? Let me ask you something. Do you think the Chabad Chaim thought he was a Rasha? Everybody say, oh, you're such a tzaddik. Oh, I'm not really a tzaddik, I'm really a Rasha. Well, I remember that time I the Mishnah Berurah came out and I made that one mistake. I'm a Rasha.
Yeah, it's the same idea. At the beginning of time, you know, is it Rav or Rabbeinu? Says, like, yeah. I'm a Rabbeinu. Yeah, and everyone's like, no, you're not a Rabbeinu. So
shut right.
up and...
Oh.
Accept it.
Very good. So he says... A person has to be, say, yeah, I know I'm the Chafetz Chaim. I'm the Tekiah. Not all is lost. We're the masters of our own spiritual destiny. We don't believe in what's called original sin. Original sin, of course, is another religion. You're damned. You come to the world, you're damned. You did something wrong, you're damned. We don't believe that. We believe in the process of the tshuva. Elokai neshama bi taharahi. You're born tahor. Not original sin, but original virtue. The shofar reminds us, the tekiah reminds us, everything's great. Every tekiah has to be followed by a tekiah in the beginning and a tekiah at the end. Because everything could be amazing if we spiritually take it to that level. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim realized who he was. He realized he was amazing and great. But, bekafuf, bend over. I could still do better as a Chafetz Chaim. I could still do better. The right side, counteracting. Wake up spiritually. Okay, you wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Yishkoyach. What's next? Now what am I going to do? So, Rav Aaron concluded by saying that that's the idea behind the shofar of Akedas Yitzchak. That's why there's a central focus on Akedas Yitzchak. Because that was probably the ultimate form of Mesiras Nefesh. And we need to have that Mesiras Nefesh. We have to be Mekadosh Hashem, Mamel Hashem. We oftentimes think the highest level of being Mekadosh Hashem is, oh, somebody who died on Kiddush Hashem. Rav Aaron would always say, that's not the best way to be Mekadosh Hashem. B'chai b'hem, to live, somebody who's Mekadosh Hashem, so there's no higher level than that. How am I going to bring the king into this kingdom? Rosh Hashanah gives us this focal point. How can I be spiritually better? What can I do that's better? I've mentioned this many times, and this I'll end with, but it's a very important yesod. Every year, we're faced with the Rosh Hashanah. This year is probably the most unique Rosh Hashanah that you've ever had in your entire lives. Because you're really on a different level than you were before. You actually know you understand what it is to ask for. The guy who wants to learn more, but he can't learn more, he doesn't have what we call the zishfleish. He can't sit in a base medrash. Or the words don't come as easy to him. So he knows what to ask for. But there is a sense of complacency. And it's a wonderful sense that you're in such an amazing place. And the guy sitting next to you is the Shana Aleph guy. I'm far, far better than he is. I'm in a far better state than he is. Shkoyach. Spiritually, we're kafuf, like the shofar. We're bent down and say we have to do better. The tekiah reminds us of the simcha that we have Rosh Hashanah, but the truah that we can do better. and the right side, we have to counter the spiritual coma that we constantly get ourselves in. Those people that say to ourselves, it's great, we're great, everything I'm doing is great. No, you got to do it better. But this is the most important yisod, I think, and I say this until I'm blue in the face, and I'll probably repeat this again on Rosh Hashanah, and that is, it doesn't take a lot to make Hashem happy. The reason why Judaism is amazing is that this Wednesday night, Haba Aleinu Latova, Rav Simi, I believe, who's going to be speaking, I hope, will not do what a rabbi once did in the New York area. And he got up there, actually, it was a nice thing that he did. He got up there and he went like this. 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year! And the whole show was like, yo, that dude's, what? Right. What's going on? He's loafing. What's going on? What's this guy doing? So, wait, listen. He says, why? Why do we do that? It's a new year. Happy New Year. Why are we different? So listen to this episode. He says, where does everybody go wrong on New Year's? On New Year's, right before New Year's Day, you do something called a New Year's resolution. Kacha minot, etzla, Gentile nations. And what does the guy say? The guy says, listen, I'm a fat pig. I know I'm a fat pig. That's it. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. This year, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Shkoyach. Guy's a chain smoker. He says, that's it, cold turkey. January 1st, no smoking anymore. Shkoyach. I'm a gambler. I'm a this, that. But why doesn't it work? Why is it that, I don't know, name your famous, in my day, Jack O'Lane or whatever the famous clubs are that people work out in, the what's it called in the city? Those famous gyms. That is a name. Yeah, what? Okay, whatever. That's how much I know it. How come they get the most registration in January? They get the most money in January, and February nobody comes back. Why? What's the reason?
Because the goals are set too high.
Beautiful. We bite off more than we can chew. 5, 4, yay, this is the great, this is great. And the next day you do it. January 2nd comes and you say, yes, I'm doing it. January 3rd, January 4th, and then January 4th or 5th or 6th, or it doesn't matter what it is, you say, oh my God, I'm going to die if I don't eat anything. Or January 6th comes and you have a bar mitzvah. I'm not going to eat at a bar mitzvah. It's free. How can I not eat?
It's messed up. It's free.
Come on. Right? Or the guy, the chain smoker, goes, he's having withdrawals. No, I'm going to do this. Cold turkey, I'm going to do it. And he closes a huge business deal. They all go out to drinks in it. Come on. You're not going to have it. It's not nice. It's not. So what if the same guy says the following? I'm a chain smoker. I smoke 6 packs a day. Yeah. I'm going to go with 5. For now, I'm 5 packs a day. Okay, Shkoyach. I'm really a bad gambler. I got a gambling problem. In fact, when I go to the Taj Mahal, everybody knows my name there. I always get a free room. So you know what? Once a month, I go every weekend. Once a month, I'm not going to go. That's how I'm going to start. Shkoyach. I want to lose weight. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start exercising 3 times a week for 15 minutes. Shkoyach. Right, all these 3 people sound like idiots to me. Who cares? What, is this going to help you in life? The answer is yes. Person who generally, there are cold turkey people, it works, but generally the person who, right, the patch, the now electric cigarette, that, those things work because it gets you off it, it weans you off it. So I think that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. He wants us to wean off our negative ways. Too soon? He wants us to wean off our negative ways. Through. So.
I have no idea what.
Please, after the show, Everybody's like, your shana bad. The jokes have to be more sophisticated. So, the shaila is, what are you going to do this year differently? Get this. A guy says, I got to increase my learning. I'm horrible. I want to increase my learning. You know what I'm going to do? And a new thing. After davening, before I even get up from my seat, I'm going to learn for 5 minutes. Loser. Big deal. No. A guy knows that he's an anger problem. So he says not the usual, you know, the Lashon Hara. The guy has a problem with Lashon Hara. He says, that's it. I'm making a nether. I'm not going to speak Lashon from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. every day. I promise, no matter what happens. Wow, that's good. Even a Leva Torah guy could sleep from 3 to 5 a.m. I hope. But you do take small steps. The guy says, during lunch, it's the hardest time. I'm really, whatever it is, little steps. Right? I mean, every year, it's probably, you know, of the 150 Shurim on Yom Torah, maybe 50 of them have this in it. I'll tell you, I'm no tzaddik. But things like saying, you know what? I know I don't have good kavana during Birchas Hamazon. So I have a new thing. I'm going to try my best. It doesn't work all the time, but whenever I bench from a sitter. I bench from a bench. I bench from my nevach, my iPhone. Yeah, that's my new thing. Before I go to sleep every night, 5 minutes I learned. Whoa, the heart seems such a sad thing. He's a rabbi. Wow, is it? You'll see. There are sometimes you fall on your face, you come home from Slichus at 1:30 in the morning, and you just want, no, I got to learn for 5 minutes. Or I'm going to look at the specific state. I'm going to try to finish the Sefer by the end of the year. Little steps. I'm going to have kavana, Aleinu. I'm not going to run out for Aleinu anymore. I always run out for Aleinu. No more. I'm not running out for Aleinu. Right? Somebody I consider to be a tzaddik told me, he made a Kabbalah, this is years ago, but he made a Kabbalah, no more coming to shul late. So this guy comes to shul on time. This is a guy who used to walk into shul 15 minutes late when davening was over after 35 minutes. So you can imagine. It's changed his life. Literally, he said, it's changed my life. Changed his life. I'm not going to talk to him in Shemoneh Esrei. I'm not trying to talk. These little things. That's what Hashem wants. Because you've changed your spiritual coma state. You've counteracted the stuff and you said, no, I want change. This, I'm not complacent with who I am now. I'm not patting myself on the back because I know I could do better and I could be better. And that is, wow. You have this unbelievable opportunity of being a Shana Bet person, which the overwhelming majority of those that were here last year did not have the opportunity to do, for whatever reason. And you have the opportunity. But you can't be complacent and say, but I'm Shana Bet. How are you going to push yourself more? Not crazy things. I'm going to finish Shas this year. I'm going to do it. I'll do it. I can do it. That's easy. You're not going to finish Shas this year. Okay, Yishkayach. I'm going to finish Masechta. I'm going to finish half of Masechta. I'm going to finish Mishas, Mishnah. Whatever it is. Real goals that you really can do. You think Hashem doesn't care about the small goals, but you think it's small, they're very big to him. Because you're making a statement, I'm not good where I am, I want to spiritually grow. Just this little thing. That's it. Ooh. Okay. We should be zoicha chasiv v'chasim b'toiva, a good ben shiur, and we should all be zoicha to take these yesodas of the shofar and hopefully let it really hit us spiritually, so we can get out of this coma that hopefully we won't be in anymore. Shkoyach.